the words of my mouth and the meditation of our heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
The sermon for today, the first Sunday in Lent, the Biblical 40. It was written by the Most Reverend John T. Calhoun, Jr. I want you to put in your minds a picture of nesting Russian dolls. I hope you know what I mean. A set of high-gloss, painted, stubby dolls of descending size, which, when cut in two, fit inside one another. Opening up the biggest one reveals a slightly smaller one, and opening that one reveals yet a smaller one, and so on down to an extremely tiny doll not cut at all. The image of the nesting Russian dolls can help us try to puzzle out the meaning of this morning's gospel. The gospel tells us a story which opens up to reveal a second story, which points in turn to a third story. The devil tempted Jesus in the wilderness after he had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. That is where the length of Lent comes from. 40 is a significant Bible number. 40 days between Easter and Christ's ascension into heaven. 40 days of Noah's flood. 40 days Elijah spent on Mount Horeb waiting for God. But not Alibaba and the 40 thieves. The way St. Matthew presents Jesus in the early chapters of his gospel shows that Jesus' life follows the same pattern as the entire history of Israel. So the most important biblical 40 behind the story of Jesus' temptation is the 40 years the people of Israel spent in the wilderness. God led them out of Egypt in the Exodus, and it took them 40 years to make the trek to the promised land. Jesus is tempted by the devil three times, and each time he resists him, he quotes from the Old Testament. It is written, it is written, it is written. When you go back to see exactly where each of the retorts is written, you discover they all come from the book of Deuteronomy. The book of Deuteronomy contains the speech Moses gave to the Israelites just before he died. One thing he does is to review the 40 years of wandering and try to explain what God meant by putting them through it. The idea is that the Israelites should reflect on their experience and learn from it. Always a chancy proposition when human beings are involved. So the doll of Jesus' temptation opens up to reveal the doll of Moses' speech. The doll of Moses' speech opens up to point back to three specific temptations the Israelites faced during the 40 years. Events the books of Exodus and Numbers describe in, as it were, a third doll. So we can see that under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, St. Matthew has put together a remarkable work of literary sleight of hand. But their collaborative genius is by no means the whole point. Just as Jesus' 40 days in the wilderness stands for Israel's 40 years in the wilderness, both of the 40 stand for the pattern of the lives we all live on this earth. These stories are not just fun facts from the distant past to know and to tell. These stories are about us. Our own stories compose the final doll. Not to mix my metaphors, but the key which unlocks the secrets of all the dolls comes again from Moses' speech in Deuteronomy. He explains the reason it took the Israelites 40 years to make a journey that would normally take only a few weeks. I quote, "You shall remember all the way which the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. That describes what I know my life is like. I am caught up in a relationship to God. God is my Father, and God wants me to grow up and become an adult. The way He tries to make that happen is to humble me, to have things happen in my life to show me I am not in control, and then to test me, to have things happen in my life which continually call into question whether I trust Him enough to do what I know He wants me to do. God works in my life exactly as He worked in Israel and in Jesus. The many testings in my life, the many testings in Israel's history, and the three temptations of Christ all pose the same questions. Do you know God is in control? Do you realize that it is better that way? Do you think God knows what He is doing? Do you trust Him enough to obey Him? Do you believe that He is your Father and that He really loves you? Now the fact is that I don't do very well at answering those questions, and I am quite weak when it comes to passing those tests. And to be fair, Israel didn't do too well either. Jesus, of course, did just fine. As Hebrews says, He was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. The first step on the Lenten path is to look at our lives not as a series of random, meaningless, unconnected events, but as a series of humblings and testings. The humblings and testings are not inflicted by a nasty, sadistic, mean God. They come from a Father who loves us and wants us to grow up. The second step is to realize that we cannot get anywhere either in understanding or in trusting and obeying without continually calling upon the help Jesus sends us through the Holy Ghost. That is why we come to church. That is why we pray. That is why we read the Bible. Israel made it into the promised land after all, and angels ministered to Jesus. So there is plenty of hope for us, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. And now unto God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, be ascribed as most justly due, all might, power, majesty, dominion, and glory, now and forever. Amen.